Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
For 8, he drills one deep to left field, and the Astros have their first lead of the night. Yiner Diaz hits his first home run since April 11th, and it couldn't come at a better time.
The bartender, give me a Yiner bomb.
So much better than LaTroy Hawkins. Hello, and welcome aboard Gallant and George on Tuesday, June 4th. Of 2024. I am Paul Gallant. He is Joe George. Sean Mapes behind the glass after the Houston Astros did something that they have not done much of this season. They rallied and won against the St. Louis Cardinals 7-4 after being down 4-2. Got to be honest, Joe, I debated tuning out last night's game when the Astros were down 4-2.
Same. I didn't watch Godzilla Minus One.
You did not?
I went with Civil War instead.
Okay.
And I was like, is it time to start this? You know, when Yiner's up with the bases loaded and doesn't get it past the pitcher's mound? Yeah. I was like, it might be time to start watching Civil War. I was like, I'm going to stick through. Yeah. I'm going to stick tough. I'm going to believe that the Astros will win like their second game this season when they're trailing in the seventh. And they did.
That was the exact moment as well, the runners in scoring position situation that didn't work out, where I thought about it myself. So I went back into my condo's kitchen to do a little cleaning, put on the Bill Simmons podcast, and he was whining about the lack of respect that the Boston Celtics got so much that I flipped things back on to the old telly just in time to hear Alex Bregman tie things up with his solo shot. He's on fire. And for Yiner Diaz to do what you heard coming into today's show. They were 1-24 going into last night's game when trailing after 7 innings. They are 5-13 in one-run games. And I would not blame anyone listening right now if you tuned out of last night's game. They haven't been clutch. The hope is now that this gives them the confidence, the ability, the thing to look to on the back of the baseball card.
Hey.
To keep doing this.
The back of the baseball schedule. A big win. It would be nice if that happens. Look, the fact that this is their second win of the year when they're trailing in the seventh inning is remarkable. For a team that since 2017 has been remarkably clutch, whether it's been Bregman, Correa, Springer, Alvarez, Tucker, they've had guys that just constantly come through in these big moments. And then Bregman, what he's doing right now to hit that home run last night and tie the game, it felt big in the moment. And it's, look, they're still 7 games back of the AL West, so there's still a lot of work to do. But the hope is that, as we talked about yesterday, this 5-series stretch where they're playing teams that are below 500, that you will go, I think we decided on 12 out of 15. Hey, that's one. Only 11 more wins to go over the next 14 games. Are they on pace? I guess so. They're on pace for 15 wins in the next 15 games. Feeling good, Paul?
I'm not feeling that good.
I'm not either.
I'm not feeling that good. I mean, things started poorly in this one. First off, Justin Verlander allowed 2 home runs in the first inning. That's where I also wavered and debated changing the channel. Kyle Tucker hit a ball off of his leg. He was on crutches after the game. He's day-to-day. The x-rays were negative. That was loud. Not just the thwack against his right shin. Shout out to my injured right shin brethren, because I injured mine playing football on Saturday. But also his loud expletives that we could not play on the air because of the children and the FCC.
Have you seen this this side-by-side that's going around Twitter from last year?
No.
So it's on the left is April 18th, 2023. And it is the exact same thing. Kyle Tucker smashes the ball off of his shin. He falls in the same way. He played the next day. So maybe he'll be okay.
Maybe he should wear a shin guard. Or a bigger shin guard.
Yeah, because that looked so painful.
Leg greaves, as they called it. That's the medieval term for leg armor.
That might be the most... like one of the worst things that can happen to you in sports. It's not like a devastating injury. Just smashing a ball off your own leg. We've seen it happen to Jordan a bunch. Tucker, it's so painful. It looks the worst.
But it could be, or I guess not devastating injury, but like they did x-ray him. He could have broken his shin bone.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
He's okay.
Positive vibes.
Positive vibes.
Not broken.
One. Positive vibes because they actually rallied from a deficit. They were 1-24 again. Until last night, they pulled it off. I hate saying it like that because you don't expect them to pull it off. With this lineup, a comeback should be close to expected, even if that number maybe is a little bit more in line with teams across baseball. So again, I'm just going to say hopefully it leads to more of it. I'm happy from that perspective. But Joe, I saw in our show notes, Day One Donna is asking, do we still want to fire Joe Espada today? Joe on Joe crime. Joe,
yeah.
You are not a Joe Espada fan, and you've got a couple of bullet points as far as things he did last night that drove you crazy.
Yeah, I just, look, he, I think, unlike last year with Dusty Baker, because right now Dusty Baker is just being proven right every single day with Yiner and Chaz and the way that they're playing. Now, and Yiner comes through last night, of course, it's great, but like right now, Dusty was right, okay? Dusty was right about Chaz not playing him every day. Dusty was right about Yiner not playing him every day. It's a fact. He was right. And but
well, with Maldonado, a little different.
It is with a little bit different with Maldonado, but Yiner's not great all the time.
You McCormick know, like, versus Dubon is, it,
yeah.
is, I will agree with you there.
Okay, so I want to go back to Sunday first, because we didn't talk about this yesterday. Not pinch running for Jose Abreu on Sunday was a terrible, terrible decision. When there was a clear, when they got the ball into the outfield, and anyone that's not named Jose Abreu and probably John Singleton on this roster would have scored on Sunday. But yesterday, now this first one's hard because it worked out in the end. But the way Yiner's been playing and the way Caratini's been playing, it's fair to question the idea of not pinch hitting for Yiner Diaz right there when the bases are loaded, when Yiner doesn't get it past the mound. And it works out because Yiner gets the home run later in the game and like sunshine and rainbows and everything's fine. But I question that one. And look, I don't care about left on left. I don't care about right on right. I think it's stupid. I don't know. Ask anyone that's faced Yordan Alvarez, the Phillies, the Mariners. It doesn't often work. Removing John Singleton from a baseball game to pinch hit Jose Abreu is one of the most baffling things I've ever seen. Jose Abreu is terrible. And yet he has 3 hits since he came back.
Hey, he had a home run on Saturday.
His average is back to below 200 now since he came back. I don't know why you would ever, even in to get the left-right matchup, say, I'm going to put Jose Abreu into a game in which he's not good enough just to start.
Counterpoint, when he's had a day off, he's been better than when he hasn't had a day off. So when he has a half day off, maybe he's also better than when he doesn't have a half day off.
Yeah. I guess.
I mean, this is the kind of counterpoint where I'm doing it tongue-in-cheek.
I just don't understand. I just don't understand. Like they have been, in my opinion, hypocritical of everything Jose Abreu. From the moment when that we talked about a couple weeks ago leading up to his return, where the timeline was off, where it was, we don't know when he's coming back. And all of a sudden, he was coming back on Friday. He doesn't get any hits in Sugarland, but he's back in Seattle. He's not good. Dana Brown goes on his flagship interview last week and says, if he's not performing, we're going to have to make a tough decision. Then he's not in the lineup. Then he's back in the lineup. Then he's out of the lineup. And yes, maybe to try to give him some rest days. But then to pinch hit him last night, like, why? Why? He's not good. I don't want him ever, ever on the field. Most of the time, Joe Espada is doing the opposite. He's removing Jose Abreu from clutch moments. He's pinching, hitting Singleton for Abreu. So I just thought it was an odd decision and not one that I would have made because Jose Abreu sucks.
So then on top of that, it did work out, but not pinch hitting for Yiner Diaz in the earlier situation begets the situation where he actually goes yard. I did think it was funny where I believe one of my favorite Astros Twitter accounts should have used Chad Qualls, a sarcastic account, was responding to Michael Schwab's insistence that Yiner Diaz was going to figure it out by saying, "You sure? I can only imagine the touchdown dance that Michael Schwab did upon him on the internet." Leaving Diaz in did work.
But
sometimes leaving somebody in isn't necessarily the smartest move. It did work out. But sometimes, even if it works out, maybe it wasn't the best judgment considering exactly how good of a pinch hitter Victor Caratini's been. That specifically is what I would have brought up. Not necessarily, hey, what we think Yiner Diaz is supposed to be. He's got to work his way out of the slump. No, Caratini's been great in a pinch hitting role this year.
And he's got multiple game winning hits for the team this year. So yeah, it worked out. So like he kind of gets a pass on that one. But I was surprised in the moment as it's happening that Yiner Diaz was still in the game when just this weekend he didn't play in back-to-back days and Caratini did. And Caratini has, I think it's two game-winning hits in extra innings this year. He's been coming through in the clutch. He had a good weekend. So I was surprised by that. I'm glad he didn't take him out because maybe they don't win the game if Joe Espada makes that decision. If he listens to me, then you know, maybe the Astros lose last night. And the tone of today's show is totally different. And, like, at least there's positive vibes to this.
From the 747, LOL, y'all are the most delusional people. The Astros win one game, and yay, we're back. Joe George, a.k.a. Mr. Walk Back My Take.
I didn't say we're back. I didn't say that.
Neither of us said we're back. Neither of us said that, Mr. Texter.
It's just a good win.
Look, we are very short memory when it comes to baseball because we like to talk about every single baseball game like it's a totally different thing. Like it's a special snowflake. They're all slightly different because of the geometric shapes you see when you zoom in on the crystallization. And this game was a good one. Obviously, they have lots of ground to make up. Joe just said, I mean, we're still expecting them to win 12 of the next 15 before we could even think about them as really being back in it, Sean.
Do you think they're starting to sell the World Series championship merch at Academy or Dick's Sporting Goods, the 2024 World Series Astros? No?
No.
I don't even think they're about printing it.
Did you see but the Yiner Diaz home run? They won last night.
Obviously,
this team... they've made seven straight ALCSs. Like, they're going to win another World Series because they won last night.
Yeah, I assumed that after last night's win that, you know, Mattress Mack would stop making these awful pretend to be the Godfather videos.
I liked it.
Yeah,
it was not good.
I liked it.
And I thought maybe we were going to get a Mattress Mack. Hey, I bet it on the Astros plus 900 or 2,000, whatever it is these days.
It would be
to win the World Series.
It would be a good time for him to get in.
Buying in low. You're like that that fella that's buying in on the GameStop stock. What's his face? He's got like a...
The guy from the movie.
No. He's got a fun name on Reddit. The guy who keeps on going on Reddit and sharing how to short GameStop stock that leads to E-Trade blocking him from doing it. It's like Fuzzy Panda or something like that.
Plus 1,700 to win the World Series. So good odds if you're still a believer.
Mm-hmm.
If you're still one of the few, this is your moment.
And this is before they're going to go 15-0 against the 15 straight bad teams.
Yeah.
How about a winning record in one-run games? They're 5-13 on that front.
That's going to be hard.
That's going to be hard because you'd have to play a lot of one-run games
and
to get
win
there.
The ball.
Be sort of like with Rolly Fingers, who supposedly used to make things so that it would be easier for him to get a save, 3 runs or less, when he came in for relief appearances from time to time because he wanted those numbies. He's all about those numbies. By the way, Keith Gill, a.k.a. Roaring Kitty, is the random person I'm talking about that I'm sure no one actually cares about. But the Astros did win last night 7-4. The vibes are better. That's all we're saying. The vibes are better on today, June 4th, 2024, which is, guys, the greatest day of our lives.
And hopefully they'll be great again tomorrow. Back-to-back days with good vibes.
Correct. Okay. Tonight and tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It would be great. Not great. Joe George is not thrilled with Joe Espada. I am once again not thrilled with Astros general manager Dana Brown, who continues to be very, very delusional as he continues to act like a politician in front of a microphone. The latest example of this next. Galana George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. You know, there's a part of me that wished I played baseball professionally. I'm scared of the baseball. That wouldn't have worked out. But, hey, I would have maybe been able to make a little bit of money. But I wouldn't be able to bet on money with mybookie.ag based off of, like, three stories that have gone down in the last 24 hours where rando minor leaguers are getting lifetime bans. Mybookie.ag, you can bet on not just sports. You can do a little blackjack or poker with a live dealer. But also at mybookie.ag, you can bet on all of the sports, whether it's the NBA Finals, which tip off Thursday night, the Boston Celtics, the Dallas Mavericks. Maybe you want to hate bet against the Mavs or hate bet against me and my Celtics. You can also bet on tonight's Astros-Cardinals game. Spencer Arrigetti and the Astros are 1.5-run favorites against Andre Belante and the Cardinals. What you feeling? What you feeling? Honestly, since we're in such a good vibes kind of mood, no matter what Joe Espada is doing to Joe George or what Dana Brown's doing to me, I'm taking the Astros. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. They match your deposit bonus up to $1,000. MyBookie.ag, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Alex sends one deep. We are tied up. Home run number 5 in his last 7 games. Reggie stays hot with a long ball.
He's been on a heater.
He has been on a heater. Todd Callis, Jeff Blum, Space City Home Network. Astros took down the Cardinals 7-4 last night at Minute Maid Park. Guys, I mean, come on. They're on a 1-game winning streak.
Hey, you get to make a winning streak, you got to start with one.
Got to start with one.
Okay, and then two, and then you go from there.
A couple of people are commenting that we did not act as if the Astros are back. Another texter is saying you guys have to give up on our Astros. He's saying it in quotation marks. No, they are our Astros.
Yeah.
Until they're no longer useful for ratings, and then we will dispose them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like it was 2011 to 2015. Dana Brown is the general manager of the Houston Astros. He had a media availability again yesterday, and this guy cannot stop selling hope. I mean, he's a snake oil salesman with this stuff. Very political in nature whenever a microphone is put in front of him. So, I mean, we all acknowledge it's going to be hard for the Astros to get back to where they need to go. They have a 19.9% chance to win the AL West as far as FanGraphs grades that, 34.1% chance to make the playoffs. And we're all wondering, okay, if things hit the fan, are the Astros going to be sellers? Dana Brown doubled down on statements he made about a month ago saying this, Joe, quote, "I don't see any scenario where we're sellers. I think we're going to be buyers." Huh? "I've seen teams blow leads from 5 games up to 7 games up in September. In Atlanta, when we won the World Series, we didn't get to 500 until game 100. I don't foresee us being sellers at all. We're going to grind it out. I think we're going to get back to 500 before people know it, and we'll be back in the race." I like the positive vibes, Joe, but he did say they were going to be buyers. And again, huh?
Yeah. You could go with the "we're not going to sell." I'm surprised when you just say that we're going to be buyers. Like, what are you buying?
And what are you buying with?
Probably Joey Loprofito.
Oh, don't say it. Don't say it.
I mean, what else? Like, other, like you can't, you cannot. Okay. The Astros, like, as much as I want them to turn this thing around and have a great season and find a way to make the ultimate comeback story and get back to the World Series and, you know, take down the Phillies again or whatever it's going to be, the idea of this Astros team and this organization going in and being like, yeah, we're going to trade Bryce Matthews, like one of our top prospects, the guy who our first-round pick since, like, 2019, and we're going to trade him at the deadline for an arm, just seems like a bad idea to me. So you don't have a depth of talent in your farm system. You probably still have the worst farm system in baseball. I don't know what the latest rankings have been, but they're definitely at the bottom third, probably the bottom five at best. The idea that they're going to buy right now, you have to really convince me by your play on the field that that's a good idea. Like, you might turn your season around, but to then give up prospects. And I know they're lottery tickets, and I know that they don't always work out, but you can't do what you did last year. Last year, trading for Justin Verlander and giving up Drew Gilbert made logical sense. I understood that move. You got to Game 7 of the ALCS. Trading a top prospect, even though your farm system's not great, for a win-now move, to me, seems irresponsible. So, if you're buying, I'm assuming that's like trading Chaz for a bullpen arm. You're not really doing either. You're buying slash selling in the moment. They don't even have the ammo for a big move, first of all. So, it to me sounds like a lot of nonsense.
It is nonsense. Here's why. To what you said. First off, yeah, the farm system, it's just Joey Loperfido, as far as we know right now. Number two. So they're already in the 1-2 range when it comes to passing the collective balance tax, which means that you got a hefty extra tax that you got to pay on your payroll if you go over a certain threshold. They're $4 million away from going over the second level of that, which only two teams are above. They have the third highest payroll in all of baseball. So it's not just that you will have to use some of your farm system, which has no one from what we understand, to go and get somebody for the right here and now. You'll also have to spend more money. Is Jim Crane really going to go over that second level of the collective balance tax threshold? I don't buy that.
Well, that's where it's put your money where your mouth is. You know, it's the window's always open. So that shouldn't matter then. If the window's always open and Dana Brown's right and they get back to 500 and they're right there, just an awful start to the season. This is a great baseball team. Alex Bregman, MVP level candidate the rest of the year. We're heating up. We're on the way. Then put your money where your mouth is. Like, go get a player that's expensive. Go get a player that turns you into a real World Series against a contender. Go for it. How you get him, I don't know. How you get that player seems tough to me. But I just don't buy it.
Did you hear what Dana Brown is also looking to add as well? This is my favorite part. This is vintage Dana Brown. And I got to say, Chandler Rome is very subtle with his shots fired in this piece in The Athletic. Quote, if we can get more offense, that would be great. Particularly a left-handed bat, said Brown, who sent Joey Loperfido's left-handed bat down to AAA to make room for Abreu on the active roster. Bravo. Bravo, Chandler. Continued, Dana, that's one of the areas, if we could get another bat, that would be intriguing for me. You can never have enough pitching. I'm always in pursuit of pitching because you need pitching to win and you need pitching to go deep. But you have Jose Abreu and John Singleton on the roster right now, and they are literally preventing a left-handed bat that you trust from actually being on this team. That is 100% happening right now. Mm-hmm. I get it. Singleton's had some moments, but Loperfido, when he's been up here, especially considering he's got a little bit of super utility in him, at least based off of that Sugarland Space Cowboy highlight that got deleted by the Sugarland Space Cowboys very officially on a Friday. He can play first base based off of that. He can play outfield. We've already seen him make a couple of plays out there. It's strange that they're talking about acquiring a left-handed bat which might take trading Joey Loperfido, who they literally already have.
They don't think he's good enough? Maybe they don't buy into the 300 batting average that he had while he was up
Joe
here?
Joe Espada thinks he's good enough.
I just...
He even said so.
The idea that... I hate when they say things like, we need a left-handed bat. No, you need a better first baseman. You need to upgrade two positions. First base and left field. Those are your priorities if you're going to turn this team around from a lineup perspective, right? The hopes and dreams of Lance McCullers and Luis Garcia, they don't solve your problems with your rotation. Your rotation has serious issues if you want to be a World Series team. As good as Blanco and Arrigetti have been, okay, these guys do not have lengthy innings pitched, high innings pitched in their career. Just like Hunter Brown last year, Arrigetti and Blanco are going to blow past their thresholds of what they've done in their career, and you're going to be hoping for two guys to come back. One guy hasn't pitched for this team in 2 years, and we haven't seen Garcia since last May. You have a lot of problems if you want to be a World Series team. You have a lot of you could trade for at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck. The Vlad Guerrero Jr. trade honestly probably makes the most sense, trading for him, not a lefty. But first baseman, only under contract for one more year, not super duper expensive. The nice about the competitive balance tax, the part that I guess I don't it's all nuanced and some of it's complicated, is when it all goes into effect versus the deadline. Because, think about it, if you bring in a $13 million player, $30 million with Bregman's leaving the books most likely this offseason, so it'll balance out there from stopping you to go into the
into
the third threshold.
Yeah, you're not going past level two, but
yeah.
You'll still be around level one.
Yeah.
And look, I'm just telling you to get ready for this. Because we've seen Dana Brown do this before. Just get ready for at the trade deadline. If Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers are back and the Astros don't do anything, Dana Brown will 100% do what he did last year, where he said that, we basically acquired Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez becoming healthy at the trade deadline.
And we acquired Joey Loperfido, a left-handed bat, when they finally cut Jose Abreu.
Well, I don't think that's happening, bud.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I don't. I think if anything happens, they will say he's out for the year with an injury of some sort. Drexel Ridley comments... He seems to not be a fan. The Astros gave up two or three mid guys for Gerrit Cole a few years ago, bro. That was Jeff Luhnow. Do you think anyone looks at the Astros front office right now and believes that they are operating from a position of strength? Do you sit down at a table across from, probably not Dana Brown, the thing that no one talks about, from whatever Jim Crane wants or whatever Jeff Bagwell wants? Do you sit across from that table and feel like you're losing that deal? You don't. With Luno, you felt probably pretty nervous. You're wondering to yourself, oh boy, if I make a trade here, I might be giving up something for nothing, and I might get completely bamboozled here. With James Click, you're maybe not feeling quite that intimidated by it. But now, if you're looking at the Astros and what they do not have, are you being honest with yourself and believing that they're going to be able to do what they did with the Gerrit Cole trade, the Justin Verlander trade, some of the other trades that they made back during the early Jeff Luhnow era? I do not believe that.
And this is where, because I understand your point, okay? Or Drexel, I understand it. This is where I think there's a difference. When you call the Houston Astros organization, or when Dana Brown calls you and says, we want to make a trade, you're going to ask for the top prospect. The problem is that if Dana Brown says no, the next group of prospects isn't good. Colin Moran, Musgrove, that's a fine trade for the Pirates. It worked out okay for them. Musgrove was very good. Moran was fine as well. But as this article points out, think about this. When you traded for Gerrit Cole, Jeff Luhnow was telling the Pittsburgh Pirates that prospects Forrest Whitley, Kyle Tucker, Derek Fisher, and Yordan Alvarez were off the table. So you have to start going through your laundry, your checklist. And those guys you cross off, so you go to the next group of players. The problem is that after Bryce Matthews and Loperfido and Arrigetti, Like, what's your list? Pedro Leon? Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of home runs this year. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have that second wave of talent to where you're not going to be in the trades to make these moves. Yes, they've made these trades before. You don't have the farm system to make them anymore.
No, that's the problem. It's interesting, the text line. You can't win with them. From the 713, the Astros were 6.5 games back from the division and still won the division. Y'all are nothing but bad vibes, man. Okay, well, I guess the first segment didn't happen. This person also says that the 2021 Astros made it to the World Series without Verlander. I'm not really sure how this relates to the Houston Astros that are currently held back by Jose Abreu and the amount that he plays. Also from the 281, when did the show turn into the bitchy bees? And that is...
that means we got to go to break.
That's a bad vibes button if I ever heard one.
I mean, like, sorry, guys.
Bad vibes alert, man.
Do we like the bitchy bees as a name better than the angry bees?
The angry bees... I feel like Joel's not going to get mad at me when we leave the studio.
Yeah, the texter said this.
Right.
Careful with calling people the B word. If there's anything I've learned in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, Pat McAfee canceled.
I learned that you can't call people the B word on
TV.
That's
true.
But on the radio, you can. They just can't be a woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Because Pat did double down on this.
On WWE. But he apologized on his radio show.
Yeah.
Which is very confusing
for everyone
involved.
And the person on WWE was also like, he's like 6'8", and he's like 400 pounds. So, you know, doesn't work the same, I would say.
Coming up next, we do a little in case you missed it. Including a team that has more urgency than the Houston Astros for no reason at all. And the most infamous man in the world made an appearance in the world of sports on Saturday. All of that and more. Stick around.
Hey, before I came to work today, I was over at O Athletic, 767 North Shepherd over in the Heights. You can check them out, oathletic.com. They offer over 100 classes per week. Any kind of class you want to take, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, weightlifting, agility training, they have that. So you can set your schedule. You can see it all online. They have classes early in the morning, starting back up around 4:30, so right when you get off work, even a little bit into the night. And they have classes on the weekend as well. I don't make any of the classes during the week. I got a three-year-old, I got a wife, I got a job, I got like three jobs, it feels like. So I'm a busy person. So when I do my classes, I make sure to drive out here and go on the weekends. The classes are a great thing to do because if you're like me, you're a little lost. Like, that's how I felt when I started going to O Athletic. Played football in high school, played rugby in college, and then that's really all I knew was how to work out for those things. I didn't know how to work out to lose weight, to get healthy, and all those things. So O Athletic, it's a great place. The physical trainers that are there, the classes, it's an awesome place. If it's a gym for me, it's a gym for you. Check them out, oathletic.com.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
By the way, the Astros did rally from down 4-3 with four runs in the eighth inning for a 7-4 win. It is their second win when trailing after the seventh inning this year. Hopefully, there will be more. On Monday, we discussed a lack of urgency by the Houston Astros. Joe, ironically, the worst team in baseball seems to have a lot of urgency right now. Here is a moment that became very, very exciting during a White Sox broadcast where a fight happened while Tommy Pham slid very hard into home plate.
Here's the throw to the plate! And he's out. And Contreras is barking at him. Tommy Pham barking back. He's not backing down. He doesn't like that. And now home plate umpire Edwin Jimenez has to hold back Pham. Nah, we ain't taking that. We ain't taking that from the Brewers. I don't care how many L's we got this year. We ain't taking that.
Joe is shaking his head silently.
This guy's a clown.
Who?
John Schreiber.
The guy who's on the
Schreifer,
call?
The play-by-play guy for the White Sox.
It used to be Jason Benetti, who I'm a big fan of.
And they
of.
Fired him because they're a coward organization.
They fired him? I thought he left for the Tigers voluntarily, which was a weird move.
It's James Click, okay? They let him out of his contract a year early.
He got James clicked?
Yeah, he got James clicked. Because he was too critical of the organization.
This guy, not critical at all.
This guy is on his knees for the White Sox.
I was going to say he has pom-poms.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. He gets embarrassed relentlessly. He gets clowned by all the radio hosts in the city. He tried to challenge them to a fight on the air like 2 weeks ago. Because they clowned him. Because, look, we all make mistakes in this business, right? But when you're the play-by-play guy of a team, you should probably know how to, I don't know, pronounce the name of, like, the guys who owned the team once upon a time. He called Bill Veeck Bill Veeck.
That's understandable.
No, it's not. You work for the White Sox. You own the White Sox.
Pronunciation.
Like, as long as it gets Jerry Reinsdorf's name right.
Not to the fans. This guy, but this call is bizarre.
So, he's trying to be the old White Sox announcer, Hawk Harrelson, noted homer. I kind of like the
call.
We're
not backing down.
Yeah, the play-by-play is more urgency here.
I think it's lame.
More urgency than LaTroy Hawkins. But for those who don't know, Tommy Pham is the baseball player who slapped Jock Peterson, correct?
Yes.
Over a fantasy football dispute.
Uh-huh.
Tommy Pham, don't F around. Here he is after the game explaining his side of a brouhaha that started when he slid hard into home plate against the Brewers.
I'm nailed out at home by a mile. I'm going to the dugout, and, you know, I hear the tough guy with all the hoorah, you know, so I'll never start anything, but I'll be prepared to finish it. There's a reason why, you know, I do all kinds of fighting in the offseason. Because I'm prepared to f*** somebody up. So you can take it as what it is.
Tommy Pham, always ready to fight people. Sadly, not a left-handed bat.
He walked away. He didn't even get held back.
That's because they knew.
You can't act like, I'm going to fight somebody to his fight classes.
His hands are registered weapons, Joe.
Yeah.
Hey, walking away?
It could have been the start of Con Air if he struck someone.
What a great callback, Sean. That's a good movie. Yeah, that's how... who's the main character in Con Air?
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage's Cameron Poe ends up going to jail at the very beginning of the movie as they're playing this really cheesy 90s song, How Will I Live Without You? Throughout the movie, he goes to jail, and that's how he ends up stuck on a plane.
Because this is like his first day back from the Green Berets or whatever.
Yeah.
And since he's a Green Beret, his hands are registered weapon.
Put the bunny in the box. So the White Sox, a little more urgency than the Astros, sadly. Again, Tommy Pham, not a left-handed bat, but he is an outfielder.
I think the Astros could use a brouhaha.
I'd like a brouhaha.
At some point, Lance McCullers will be on the team. And can't be leading the charge for fights.
I wanted one against the Mariners badly.
Just to get the, you know.
Because it seems like that's the one team where there's actually bad blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because even the Rangers stuff last year in the postseason just kind of felt heat of the moment. There seems to be real bad blood.
Yeah, it felt like Adolis Garcia's a psychopath.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. All right, guys. Fighting. It's a sport. UFC number 302 was on Saturday.
Yep.
McIntyre's was way too crowded as a result of that. But hey, I actually watched some of the fight. Former President Donald J. Trump recently, you know, 34 felony counts, was prominently featured ringside at this event. And after Sean Strickland won his match, Strickland, in the middle of a interview with Joe Rogan, right after winning, first thing he brought up was how he felt Donald J. Trump was wrong. However you feel about that.
He wasn't the only one.
I thought it was very noteworthy that Sean Strickland did not really care about the result of his fight and much more cared about the president of the United States, the former president of the United States, being ringside.
And Sean Strickland is the guy who went on the expletive-laden tirade.
Yeah.
about my Lord and Savior.
Yeah, calling him a bleeping P-word multiple times.
But Kevin Holland did the same thing.
He did?
He broke that dude's arm, which was
gnarly. Michael Olek.
In the moment. It was gnarly. And he jumped over the cage, and he went and shook Trump's hand. Immediately.
Strickland hugged him.
Yeah, they're like, we don't need to talk to Joe Rogan. We're here for number 45.
They're playing American Badass as he came in with Dana White.
That made me laugh.
At one point, I would be like, can we use a different song? Because they do, like, this happens, like, every, like, I don't know, four or five.
I bet you he'll be at 303 like, with the Connor fight.
This is at least the third time he's done this.
Yeah. Honestly, I need Connor to win his fight at UFC 303. Because I need to see Connor and Trump interact face to face.
Well, I don't know if he's...
I would pay for that.
I just want to see the hug, the handshake. Maybe he throws a punch. Like I don't. You never know what you're going to get from Connor. I mean, this is the guy who jumped into the stands to fight Khabib and his boys. So
didn't he throw a bar chair at Khabib's bus? Or was that another random
fighter? I don't know if it was a bar.
It was a one of those dolly things.
Yeah, it was a dolly. Yeah.
Also, punch an old man in the bar.
Yeah.
Done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you know, felons being felons.
Threw, like, full cans of, like, I don't know, Monster or whatever at Nate Diaz at a press conference.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that one.
Also at UFC 302, Islam Makhachev, sorry, I'm impersonating that White Sox broadcaster.
Pretty good.
Beat Dustin Poirier.
Yep.
Got it.
Two for two.
Poirier, big deal, huh?
It was a good fight. It was not a good card this weekend. It was kind of boring.
Well, he's a big deal as far as the UFC goes. That's my take.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fan favorite. People wanted to see him win the belt. He fought a guy from Dagestan, so he didn't get the belt.
Yeah.
He
looked, this guy, I thought it was Khabib.
No.
The first time they showed him on television. Just like at the bar, look up. I'm like, oh, he's here. And he wasn't there. He was in his corner.
Yeah. He was
but like another dude from Dagestan who hasn't lost a UFC fight yet. Like, I wonder where this is headed. He's 16-0 now, I think. So I don't know if he'll get to Khabib's 49-0. But
more fighting news.
Ooh,
Billy McFarland from the Fyre Fest was in a karate tournament over the weekend that Joe Rogan and Shane Gillis was at, and he won it. Wow. Billy McFarland, listen, you're not going to be able to fight him about a refund for Fyre Fest. He'll kick your ass.
Weird. String of people. I guess Rogan Gillis makes sense together, but then Billy McFarland at a karate class. Or not a class, a tournament.
At least he can fight.
Yeah. Better.
No.
Do you think he started? Do you think he started to learn when he was in prison?
No. This is two fat boys. I'm watching this. This is a soft ass punch. This is a soft boy right here. This Justin Castardo guy who we knocked out.
I bet you won't say that to Billy McFarland's face, Joe.
Is it Steven?
No, this is not a Jeremy Booth situation, okay? Where I called him a clown and I walked in and I nearly dumped my pants, okay? Billy McFarland can walk in the studio right now and fatty versus fatty, I will win this fight, even if he's got a foot on me, okay?
Is it Steven Seagal levels of fighting expedition?
How dare you besmirch Billy McFarland saying he's like Steven Seagal?
He's the one. I don't have eyes on it.
The College World Series. That's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson pulled off a hidden ball trick against Coastal Carolina.
I love that people still do this.
If you get duped by a hidden ball trick, I mean, awareness level zero.
It should count for
off
two
my
outs.
Team. No scholarship.
I agree. Two outs, and I agree. No scholarship.
Yeah, how do we fix baseball? Hidden ball trick, two outs.
A Vandy outfielder ran into a wall face first. It was way out of the park. I have no idea how he didn't see the fence.
Jake Myers has a little brother that plays for Vandy?
Jake Myers, at the very least, would turn his back into the wall. This guy ran face first into the wall. And Texas A&M advanced to the Super Regional, which, from what I understand, is still not the College World Series in Omaha, but it's part of the College World Series because there's the Regional and the Super Regional. And then I guess there's Omaha. And Texas A&M beat Texas 4-2 in extra innings on Saturday. I think the way that most Texas fans are responding to the loss is acting like they didn't care about college baseball and like they didn't watch. I think Texas also got shelled by Louisiana the next day, so they're out. And you also have this amazing play-by-play call in the College World Series. I think this regional was a Pac-12 regional.
It's a defensive swinging right there.
That one is in the air to right field. Mancini, his favorite color is green trees, hits it out of the ballpark for a solo. to nothing Dukes.
It sounds a lot like that A's broadcaster that's been going viral recently.
His favorite color is green trees.
My favorite color is green trees.
The color green.
Are there trees in the
I was wondering, like, is this like one of those like 100 packs of like crayons from when you're a kid and like there's like seven shades of green?
Yeah, forest green.
And
is green.
See, but that's it's forest green. Have they changed the color?
Oh,
is it now called just green trees?
I don't know if they've gone woke with it.
Yeah, they don't want to upset the forest people. They go, it's green trees.
So there you go, guys. That is in case you missed it. It is Gallant and George on a Tuesday. The Astros did beat the Cardinals yesterday, 7-4, if you want to weigh in on that. But there's something else we got to talk about. I mean, this is the biggest story in sports because the people that are at the center of it refuse to let it die. They are pouring not just gasoline on top of the flames. They are dancing in the flames. What are we talking about? You'll find out next. Stick around. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Do you even support women's sports?
Women failed the WNBA.
We do.
Easton leads the scoring with 4.
And that's why she commands $7,000 a year.
It's time to talk WNBA.
Yeah, that's right. Because we support women. And I gotta say, Joe, it's pretty crazy that this story is continuing the fallout from Caitlin Clark getting hip checked by Kennedy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is because these two will not let the story die. And by these two, I don't mean Caitlin Clark, who has said nothing about it. I mean Kennedy Carter and Angel Reese, who celebrated it, then didn't speak about it with the media and got fined $1,000. So here's what is most recently happened in this saga. First, you have Kennedy Carter, who, in front of a microphone with Angel Reese, guess she didn't feel comfortable going up there by herself. She said, I'm a competitor.
I think at the end of the day, I'm a competitor. Now that it's another day, I've had an off day. Now I can answer your questions and I can let you know how I really feel about things. But I'm a competitor. And I'm going to compete no matter who you are and no matter who's in front of me. So that's just what it was. Heat of the moment play. We're getting at it. We're going back and forth. It's basketball. It's all hoops.
It's all love at the end of the day, she finished the comment with.
Okay. I don't understand why, like, it really mattered in the moment, like, why you had to wait. This whole story is so weird.
I did not know who Kennedy Carter was until yesterday, as evidence.
Still don't really.
Exactly. I mean, I said she was Kennedy Carter yesterday, as I continue to butcher the pronunciation's name.
I'll be honest, I just thought now you were saying it wrong.
No.
I thought, because you said Kennedy yesterday. So
right.
I was like, well, why is he saying Kennedy now?
I wanted to correct you yesterday, but I wasn't like 100% sure. It's just that I've seen other people with CHs that get pronounced like Kindle with a CH, and I wasn't sure if she was one of those.
New day, new segment. We support women's sports. I actually have some Kennedy Carter fun facts for you.
Oh, awesome.
Guess what her nickname is? Hollywood.
President Kennedy. What?
Hollywood.
Hollywood?
Guess who gave her that nickname?
Herself.
Yes.
I love people who give themselves
like Kobe
nicknames.
Yeah.
She was terminated by Atlanta in 2021,
terminated.
Her second year. This is what this thing says. After threatening to beat up her own teammates, she was fired for, quote, conduct detrimental to the team.
Wait, you can get fired in the WNBA?
I guess so.
Like, they don't just say cut like a normal sport?
I guess not. 2022, I think this person is just a Yaro who aggregated
It's like Google translated.
Something like that. 2022, the LA Sparks picked her up and waived her midseason for, quote, poor conduct, end quote.
Huh.
She played all of 2023 in Turkey. And this year was her first year back in the WNBA. Her seventh game, she takes out Caitlin Clark.
Man, seems like a bad person.
Oh. So, seems like not the woman to mess with.
It's like Draymond Green, yeah. The WNBA.
Or I was thinking like Pat Bev, where it's like I went to Turkey to play. I'm not going back.
Maybe this is the part. Maybe the Fever should trade for Kennedy Carter.
Yeah, this is the enforcer.
This is the enforcer that Matt Barnes. turn your enemy into your ally, kind of thing.
There we go.
Look, here's the thing. She's Kevin Porter Jr. minus the off-the-court stuff. I mean, you've gotten cut from two teams for being an a-hole teammate. I mean, again, it's a different league. I don't know the ins and outs, but we're learning about them. So that was Kennedy Carter weighing in on it. Angel Reese, meanwhile, was asked about the physical play that Caitlin Clark has received upon her entry to the WNBA. Here's what she had to say.
It all started from the national championship game, and I've been dealing with this for 2 years now. And understanding, like, yeah, negative things have probably been said about me, but honestly, I'll take that because look where women's basketball is. People are talking about women's basketball, but you never would think that we'd be talking about women's basketball. People are pulling up to games. We got celebrities coming to games, sold out arenas, like, just because of one single game. And just looking at that, like, I'll take that role. I'll take the bad guy role, and I'll continue to take that on and be that for my teammates. And if I want to be that, and I know I'll go down in history, I'll look back in 20 years and be like, yeah, the reason why we watching women's basketball is not just because of one person. It's because of me, too, and I want y'all to realize that.
So, Angel Reese, when asked about the physical play Caitlin Clark has faced, made the entire answer about herself and wanted people to know that people are watching women's basketball because of her and an LSU-Iowa game. I gotta say, Angel, I don't think people are showing up to watch you score 6-6 against the Los Angeles Sparks.
I mean, are they showing up to watch Caitlin Clark score 3 points?
Yeah, go 1-for-10 and lose by 40.
I do like that she's kind of embracing. Like, you need heroes and villains.
Yeah.
She can be the villain.
They're being the bad boy Pistons right now. They're being the bad boy Pistons to the Michael Jordan.
Well, I think, guys, that people are watching the WNBA not necessarily because of the actual basketball. I think they're watching it because there's lots of fighting in the WNBA. We didn't even talk about Angel Reese getting choke slammed.
Yeah.
Which apparently is a big deal.
Because it doesn't matter.
There was another moment where I looked up a couple, like I was looking for that Family Guy clip and there's a little show open there. I'm like, that's why she commands $7,000. Well, while looking that up, a random highlight came up of a WNBA skirmish where Courtney Williams ran into a screen of Tara McCowan in a Minnesota Lynx Dallas Wings game. And as she got taken out, Courtney Williams, she kicked Sevgi Ozun in the head.
In the head?
In the head. Just kicked her in the head while getting taken out on a screen.
Dirty. Just like,
dirty.
Legitimately, like bicycle kicked.
Acrobatic kick right to the face. And the coach, after this was turned into a flagrant foul, the coach of the Minnesota Lynx threw her clipboard. There's some WWE kind of drama in the WNBA.
We always ask for 90s basketball to come back.
It's in the WNBA.
It is. It's just here.
There's no scoring and people are fighting each other.
They play with three big men at all times.
I mean, you know, it's like, you know, you guys watch How I Met Your Mother?
Yes.
So at one point, Robin Scherbowski explains to the crew that Canada's like always like a decade behind. Maybe the WNBA is just like 4 decades behind the NBA. So, like, or 3 decades. So they're in the Michael Jordan's here era of, you know, bad boy Pistons, tough basketball, new superstar on the block. Things are good now.
It is like, I mean, it is 50 years younger of a league. Yeah. So it's like.
So they're in the 90s right now.
Yeah, it's the different life cycle.
Yeah. Michael Jordan, like, the highest paid player in, like, 1992 was, like, making, like, $6 million. So, you know, maybe this is the beginning.
I remember that.
This is their origin story.
I remember reading that with, like, Magic Johnson got paid, like, got one of the deals with the Lakers. And people were like, he's making $5 million a year to play basketball.
Yeah.
People just lost their mind.
Now they make 60.
I
think I might pay attention to it a little bit more than I thought, but it might have to do with the fighting, much like we watch NASCAR for the crashes and we watch hockey for the fighting. So, hey, if you find a niche, people might come. Galan and George, Joe George, Sean Mapes behind the glass. Up next, on a day where the Astros are basking in the afterglow of a come-from-behind victory against the St. Louis Cardinals, the Houston Texans are back at practice, mini camp. Anything of note happened today? And CJ Stroud may have taken a shot at one of the league's best. You'll hear that for yourself next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.